Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Merry Christmas. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Glad to have you along today. We're going to spend some time today enjoying the message of Christmas through song. You know, we love the Christmas story, and hopefully you have reviewed it a time or two already, and maybe you've already gotten the Christmas service in, or there's one scheduled soon, or you'd just like to remember again the glories of this season and the so many wonderful songs tell the story well. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to not only tell the story, but listen to the story through music. And we have a good friend coming back to join us on that. I do want to mention first, though, that we have been in the midst of our Angel Tree campaign, and we're wrapping that up here at Christmas time. Our goal was to see 1,200 kids reached through your generosity and your gifts all across our Faith Radio listening family, and we're nearly at 1,100. So if you have not yet responded, could I just encourage you, $146 would help reach 10 children, $73 will help reach 5 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their parent in prison. And you can make that gift online at myfaithradio.com. Or you can call this toll-free number, 855-59-ANGEL. It's 855-592-6435. And let's just hear another reminder.
Opening it, we were so amazed seeing as these presents were from my father.
And so we walk up to the door and explain to her who we were. And as I'm doing that, from the back of the room, I hear this little voice go, "I knew my daddy wouldn't forget me.
People don't even know me. I'm in prison. Why would anybody care about me and my kids?"
Christmas just wasn't an option had it not been for Angel Tree.
The big wall of bars starts to open. Chad runs over and he starts hollering, "I've got a daddy. I've got a daddy."
We've heard powerful stories all month long, and I hope that you would just recall some of those today and then make your call. Thank you for your generosity. Let's get to those 1,200 kids taken care of. With your help, $73 will help reach 5 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. 855-59-ANGEL is the phone number. Angels, a key part of the Christmas story. We'll hear a few songs that talk about angels from the realms of glory. We're also going to talk about Bethlehem. We'll talk about the child, the bells, that holy night. But we're going to review a number of favorite Christmas carols and hymns today with Robert J. Morgan, who's pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He's served there for 36 years now, and he's authored, I think, more than 30 books, more than 2 million in print, including The Lord is My Shepherd, The Red Sea Rules, Mastering Life Before It's Too Late. He's written a collection, a hymn story collection called Then Sings My Soul. There are actually 3 editions of that. And we want to welcome him back because we've had the opportunity to talk over the past several Christmases about wonderful Christmas stories and hymns and carols. So, Rob, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Oh, you're welcome, Neil. You've become one of my Christmas traditions.
Well, that's let's keep it going. We're gonna tell a story of one of the most popular Christmas hymns in just a moment. But I do want to mention. I know you just released a new book with the Child Evangelism Fellowship. Just say a word about that.
Well, I believe in a lot of ministries, but particularly Child Evangelism Fellowship, which has been around for nearly 80 years, has been reaching children now for those 8 decades in nearly 200 nations of the world, and their story is very incredible. And so I have worked with them in producing a history of Child Evangelism Fellowship and the unusual story of this ministry. It's called Every Child, Every Nation, Every Day, and it just has come out. And I think that it would be a very interesting read, really, for anybody, and particularly if you are interested in making a difference in the lives of children.
Well, I appreciate your history and summary of that. Look forward to reading it. Every Child, Every Nation, Every Day, the work of Child Evangelism Fellowship. So Rob Morgan is with us. Rob, we're going to lead off with Silent Night, because that's a Christmas hymn that is one of the most recorded and sung throughout history. And it started out just kind of as a sort of a last-minute Christmas fill-in, I think, wasn't it? Tell me the story.
Well, it comes from Salzburg. Have you ever visited Salzburg, Neil?
Not. It's on my bucket list. I'd like to make that a Christmas tradition.
Yes, it's just a little town in Austria. You can walk from one end of it to the other in about 10, 15 minutes. But it was the home of Mozart, the home of the Von Trapp family singers, and the home of Joseph Moore, who wrote Silent Night. There's not a little town anywhere in the world that has had the musical impact on our globe that Salzburg has. Joseph Moore was born there. He went on to pastor nearby in the nearby village of Obendorf at the Church of St. Nicholas, and he wrote this hymn, Silent Night, almost 200 years ago. He wrote the words to it, but for a couple of years they just stayed in the drawer of his desk. And then on December the 24th of 1818, evidently, the organ had broken down. They were preparing for the Sunday night or the Christmas Eve service, the midnight mass, and he gave the words to Franz Gruber, who was the musician and the organist, and who said, "Why don't you write something and let's sing it by guitar?" And so it was sung for the first time in that improvised way on December the 24th, 1818. And later, when the organ repairman came to work on the church organ, he heard that song and was so impressed with it, he began spreading it. The Strasser family singers, which was an early version of the Von Trapp family singers, spread it everywhere, and it was published and appeared in English in the 1800s and quickly became the iconic hymn that it is. Now, I went out to Obendorf to see where this song had been written for the first time. The original Church of St. Nicholas had been destroyed in a flood, but they've built a chapel there to commemorate this Christmas carol, and there's a museum. And, oh, the things in that museum that harken back to that day nearly 200 years ago when Silent Night was composed and then the music composed and then it sung on that Christmas Eve service. It was one of the great experiences, Neil, of my life, to be at the place where Silent Night was first sung almost 200 years ago.
Well, let's take just a couple minutes and hear it now. And no matter what you might be doing today, maybe you can just quiet yourself a bit and let the music speak to you once again. This best loved Christmas hymn. Here's Silent Night, Mark Schultz and Nicole Nordeman. Silent Night, Mark Schultz, Nicole Nordeman. We're going to take a quick little break, come back, and share more of your favorite Christmas carols and Christmas hymns and the stories behind them. I encourage you to stick around. We'll hear O Little Town of Bethlehem and Away in a Manger, Angels from the Realms of Glory. We've got a variety of artists all chipping in and offering their good renditions so that we can just celebrate the story of Christmas through music. Rob Morgan's my guest today, pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship, best-selling author. We're talking about Christmas stories with Rob. More in a minute. This is Connecting Faith, the day before Christmas Eve, and we're spending the day focusing on Christmas as told through music. Rob Morgan has written three volumes of hymn stories called Then Sings My Soul, and he includes in there Christmas stories, and we're highlighting a few of our favorite Christmas carols. One of them that we love, a beautiful carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Rob, say, tell us the story of that song.
It was written by Philip Brooks, who was a giant of a man. He was 6'6", weighed 300 pounds, pastored in the 1800s, churches in Philadelphia and Boston. It's said that he preached very fast. He had so much to say. He was from distinguished Puritan stock. Well, Philip Brooks visited the Holy Land in 1865. He'd made that long-awaited pilgrimage, and on Christmas Eve of that year, 1865, he went to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And he later said, I remember standing in the old church in Bethlehem, close to the spot where Jesus was born, and the whole church was ringing hour after hour with splendid hymns of praise. Well, 3 years later, as he prepared for his Christmas season at his church in Philadelphia, he wanted to compose an original Christmas hymn for the children to sing during their annual program. Recalling that magical night in Bethlehem 3 years earlier, he wrote this little hymn and handed it to his organist, Louis Redner, and asked him if he would write a new tune for this poem. And he did, and it was sung that year in the Sunday school assembly by the children as the first time that anyone had ever sung this new hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie.
The good news is that there is light shining in the darkness still today. Let's enjoy the Katina's rendition of O Little Town of Bethlehem.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee, met in thee too, O little town of Bethlehem, O holy child.
telling the story of Christmas through music. Well, little town of Bethlehem, as Rob Morgan reminded us, it was a song for the children, a song that children sing regularly, but it's really important for all of us, worth singing and hearing the story. Away in a Manger, that's next. Rob, tell us about that one.
Well, there's a mystery to this hymn because it is commonly known as Luther's cradle hymn. And the early hymnals back in the 1800s would have a notation beneath it, which would say something like this, that Away in the Manger was Luther's cradle hymn composed by Martin Luther for his children and sung by German mothers to this day to their little ones. Well, the only problem is that historians going through the writings of Martin Luther can't find any record of Luther having written anything like this. And so we wonder if it's Luther's cradle hymn, and if it's ascribed to Luther, why can't we find it in the German writings? Well, in the 1940s, there was a historian named Richard Hill who did a lot of research into this and determined that the words and music of Away in a Manger, that's certainly Lutheran, but not from Luther himself, but from the German Lutherans of Pennsylvania. We don't know exactly who wrote it or what authors or composers were involved, but it appears that the earliest we can find it is back in the 1800s in songbooks that come out of the German Lutherans of Pennsylvania. So it may not be Luther's, but it certainly is Lutheran, and now it belongs to all the world as generations of children have come to know and love this little carol that they can sing in their own language as they say, I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh.
Let's hear Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky look down where he
favorite the Christmas carols. We're enjoying favorites today with Rob Morgan. He's authored several hymn story collections called Then Sings My Soul, and we're talking about some wonderful Christmas hymns and carols. One of them that I have come to really appreciate and enjoy is Angels from the Realms of Glory, and I like the particular version we're going to hear a bit of in a moment. But Rob, tell us the story behind Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Well, just like Silent Night, this was written in 1816, and so next year will be the 200th anniversary of both Christmas carols. Angels from the Realms of Glory was written by a Scottish Moravian named James Montgomery. And it's so interesting to me, Neil, that this is a young man whose parents left him in a Moravian settlement when he was 6 years old, and they sailed off to be missionaries in Barbados. I just can't imagine leaving behind your six-year-old son and sailing off to be missionaries. He never heard from them again. They perished on Barbados, and he was orphaned. And you would think that he might become bitter towards Christianity because of it, but the opposite was true. Now, for a long time, he drifted between pillar and post and was sort of a lost individual. But then he settled down in Sheffield, England, and became a newspaper publisher there for the Sheffield Register. And he began using his newspaper to be a missionary himself and supporting Christian causes and supporting missionaries. His parents would have been so proud of him. And it was on Christmas Eve, 1816, when he was 45 years old, that James Montgomery opened his Bible to Luke 2 and was reading through the Christmas story. And he took up his pen and wrote a poem that he put in his newspaper. And a few years later, it was set to music. And that poem that came from the son of these Moravian missionaries was, "Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth."
We're here to proclaim Messiah's birth, a mission hymn. Nicely done. We'll hear a bit of it right now from This Hope. From the Realms of Glory, one of the Christmas hymns and carols we're highlighting today. There's more to come in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. Rob Morgan joins us from the Donaldson Fellowship, telling us the wonderful stories behind these best-loved Christmas hymns. And we'll tell the story of Christmas in music in just a moment.
Come.
Sing glory to the newborn king.
32 past the hour, it's Connecting Faith, and this day before Christmas Eve, we're telling the story of Christmas through music, and we all have our favorite Christmas carols. I selected a handful that we're asking our guest Rob Morgan to tell the story behind, and just finding a little bit more about them, so maybe next time that you sing them, it'll just add a bit more meaning to it, and you'll just know the heart that went into writing these best-loved carols and choruses. And by the way, Joe Bender, who hosts Connecting Faith every Friday, has written about one of her favorite Christmas carols, Go Tell It on the Mountain, and she's got a blog posted on myfaithradio.com, so you can check that out and look for her thoughts about Go Tell It on the Mountain and make some very good a connection for us. So check that out. Joe Bender has some good thoughts in Go Tell It on the Mountain. And with that, we want to find out about the spiritual Go Tell It on the Mountain. Rob Morgan from the Donaldson Fellowship, best-selling author, written some 30 books. He's been at the Donaldson Church there for over 36 years and has written several editions of hymn story collections called Then Sings My Soul. And one of them we want to talk about, Rob, is the Go Tell It on the Mountain. It's a spiritual, right?
Yes, I love this hymn story because it's got a connection here with my town of Nashville, Tennessee. This comes out of African-American slavery, this particular Christmas carol does. As you know, during those bitter days of slavery, the black workers on the plantations would console themselves with singing, and they had this folk music style with roots in Africa, which would have been undiscovered except for Fisk University. Fisk, which is here in Nashville, still standing, a beautiful historic campus, was established to provide education for the freedmen and for the children of the liberated slaves. And there was a man on the staff here, on the faculty, named John Wesley Work, W-O-R-K, Jr., and he worked with the choirs, particularly with the famous Jubilee Singers, and he would lead them in very classical music, but he noticed that in between rehearsals they were singing these spirituals, and he came to really love and appreciate them and started discovering them and writing them down and recording them and preserving them. And soon he had his choir, the Jubilee Singers, singing them all over the world. And so the black spiritual became a part of the music of the world. It was the Jubilee Singers who first performed this African-American spiritual, Go Tell It on the Mountain, in 1879, and it was first published in 1907, and we've been singing it ever since.
Well, let's enjoy it right now. This is a rendition that we're doing from a group called All Things New. We're going to have a new version of an old favorite, All Things New, with Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Christmas.
Telling the story about the birth of Christ through music. Powerful way to communicate this wonderful story, and really a story told all around the globe. We want to focus on I think it's an English hymn next, a Christmas favorite, What Child Is This? Rob Morgan telling us the story. What's the story behind this one, Rob?
You know, What Child Is This is sort of a sad song. I mean, I always feel very plaintive when I hear it, and there's a note of sadness to Christmas. I mean, you think about a baby who was born to die. There's something mystical about it, and this particular Christmas carol captures that. The words were written by an insurance agent, named William Dix, who was born in Bristol, England in 1837. His father was a surgeon who wanted him to become a surgeon himself, but William didn't have any interest in medicine, and so he moved to Glasgow, and he sold insurance. But on the side, he wrote devotional books for children, And this particular hymn, What Child Is This, was taken from one of those devotional books. And then it was married to this melancholic melody, which is a famous old British tune called Greensleeves, which is a ballad about a man who was pining for his lost love, the Fair Lady Greensleeves. Some people believe it was written by King Henry VIII, but it's unlikely that it was actually written by the king. But we do know that Queen Elizabeth I knew and loved this song, and that Shakespeare referred to it in his plays. It was put together with the words to What Child Is This by William Dix about 150 years ago, and it has been identified, the words and music, as being perfect for each other ever since. And there is just something so plaintive about those words, this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing.
Let's listen. This is Michael Card's rendition of What Child Is This, and the call is to let loving hearts enthrone him. As you listen to the song, I invite you to do that anew and afresh today.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? He lies in such a lowly place, where ox and ass are feeding. The end of fear for all who hear the silent word is speaking. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him praise, the babe, the Son of Mary.
Story of Christmas through the hymns and carols of Christmas, that plaintive sound, What Child Is This? Rob Morgan from the Donaldson Fellowship, bestselling author and pastors, telling us the stories of Christmas, another sort of plaintive song. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. It's become one that I like hearing, I think, more and more every year. Tell us the story behind I Heard the Bells.
It's a fascinating story, and it's an American story. It was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, who was a Harvard professor of literature and, of course, one of America's greatest writers. But in the 1860s, he had three tragedies that struck him, one right after the other. The first was that his wife died when her dress caught fire in their home in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The second was that that very same year, 1861, the Civil War broke out. And the third tragedy was that his son, Charlie, who was 17, ran away from home and joined the army to fight for the Union. Well, Charlie saw action at the Battle of Chancellorsville. He contracted a typhoid fever and malaria and missed the Battle of Gettysburg, but he recovered enough to join the Battle of New Hope Church in Virginia, and there he was shot. The bullet went through his left shoulder and nicked his spine and came close to paralyzing him, and he was eventually taken back to Washington to recover. And Henry Wadsworth Longfellow went to be with him and sat by his son's bedside day after day, slowly trying to nurse his son back to health. And on Christmas Day of 1863, by his son's bedside, he wrote this hymn about getting hope by listening to the bells of Christmas Day pealing loud and deep. And they said to him, God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
You might be in a situation today where there's heartache and sorrow, and maybe just sitting by a bedside, you can let the words of this song kind of run through your mind as we enjoy it together. Sharing the story of Christmas through the wonderful lyrics and hymns and carols that we've come to so appreciate, and helping us with the context and the story behind them is Rob Morgan, pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, Tennessee. He's served there for more than 36 years, author of more than 30 books, including several editions of hymn story collections called Then Sings My Soul. And one of the Christmas hymns that we enjoy really is more than a Christmas hymn. It's Joy to the World. Rob, say a word about that one.
It's an accidental Christmas hymn. It was written by Isaac Watts, who was a pastor in London, and he was one of the ones who helped popularize hymns when many people in the church didn't think you should sing anything but the Psalms of David. But he went through the Psalms of David, and he converted many of them to hymns, and one was Psalm 98. And in his version of Psalm 98, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, burst into jubilant song with music." And in his hymn, that came out as Joy to the World. And somehow it's ended up as a Christmas hymn because of that thought, Joy to the Lord, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. But it comes from the pen of that unusual character in Christian history who gave us so many of the hymns, and it's called the father of hymnody, Isaac Watts.
Let's hear just a bit of that hymn, which really reminds us that Jesus is coming again as well.
Receive her King. is far, far as the curse is far, far as the curse is far.
Joy to the world.
Well, we've got time for one more, and this particular Christmas anthem is one that is best loved. Whenever they do surveys, this one shows up at the top or near it, and so we're going to wrap up our conversation with Rob Morgan with O Holy Night. And just a reminder before Rob tells us a bit about the story of that coming up tomorrow, starting at noon, we'll open up 36 hours of Christmas music and very special programming to celebrate the story of Christmas in song. So be sure to be listening tomorrow, starting at noon, here on Faith Radio. Rob, tell us about O Holy Night.
It's the collaboration of three men who never knew each other. It's very unusual. The words of O Holy Night were written in 1847 by a French wine merchant named Placide Chapeau, who was the mayor of a small town in the south of France. We know very little about him. The music was composed by Adolphe Charles Adams, who was a pianist and a composer, who's sort of one of those iconic penniless musicians who struggled all through his career and died in Paris at the age of 52. And the third man was the one who popularized this hymn, and that is John Dwight, who was a liberal Unitarian minister and musician who tried to run a commune and finally ended up being best known as a music critic, but he's the one who took O Holy Night and popularized it. And so it's a very odd thing, Neil, that a wine merchant, a penniless Parisian pianist, and a liberal clergyman should give us one of our holiest hymns about the birth of Christ, the Savior of the world.
Before we hear it, Rob, just want to wish you a merry and blessed Christmas. Thank you so much for your contribution to our holiday and for your great writing and teaching. I wish you a wonderful year ahead.
And the same to you, Neil. Thank you.
Rob Morgan is pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville. He's a best-selling author. His new book called Every Child, Every Nation, Every Day just came out. I recommend it to you, and check out any of his writings. You can find out more on his website, robertmorgan.com, I think it is. Rob, we're going to wrap up with O Holy Night, and this is a nice rendition by Danny Gokey. And to all of our friends on Faith Radio, Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He here.
Join us tomorrow at noon for Christmas Live with Mark Schultz, and then 36 hours of Christmas music here on Faith Radio.